Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I got my mind set.
Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Love Chris Evans.
Woo!
Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Welcome to the show. Vassos is here.
Aloha.
Rachel's here.
Greetings.
And very soon, Sir Ian McKellen's going to be here. Tell me about Sir Ian, Vassos.
Nailed on national treasure, possibly the shiniest of them all, acting royalty since the flipping 50s, Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, Magneto in the X-Men, and Shakespeare, you name it. In fact, I'll name it. Richard II, Richard III, Richard I, watch out. McKellen's coming to get you. And Windsor, watch out, because McKellen's coming to get you with Roger Allam in a new play called Frank and Percy.
Yeah, and Roger's going to be here with Sir Ian too. I think it should be Sir Roger as well. But anyhow, that's not my gift to give. Sam Ryder's going to be playing live. He's going to be talking to us. Tell us about Sam, Rachel.
Well, I'll take your Sir Ian McKellen and I'll raise you a Sam Ryder, because this man is a source of absolute joy and sunshine. Like, if you're all over social media, then you've probably had Sam Ryder juice for quite a few years now. But for a lot of us, it was the Eurovision of last year that propelled Sam and his fabulous flowing locks into our lives. He came second, did the UK proud. He was back there last weekend on that stage in a sparkly jumpsuit. He's released his single Mountain, was out last week. He's going to be here performing it today. And if you're lucky enough to have tickets to a pub in the park, you can see him live in Marlow tomorrow.
Yeah, You've Got the Love is going to be his first cover. Cover of 2009's Florence and the Machine, the 1986 single released by The Source featuring Candy Stanton. What a laugh. I mean, come on. That's a cover of a cover is what he's
Fabulous.
Saying. We've never had a cover of a cover before. Excellent, excellent. All right, tell us about this extraordinary football match last night, Vassos.
So this is the League One playoff semi-finals. Peterborough against Sheffield Wednesday. There are two legs. The first leg at Peterborough. Peterborough won 4-0, tie over. They're through to the final in Wembley. Oh, so we thought. Ahead of last night's second leg at Hillsborough. Rocking full house at Sheffield Wednesday. And that's a thing in itself, because they're 4-0 down. They score early and something I'm watching on Sky Sports, the commentator sort of picking up a sort of vibe that could this possibly be on? 1-0 becomes 2-0 becomes 3-0. Peterborough still winning 4-3 on aggregate as we head into extra time, added time at the end of the match. First minute, second minute, the 8th minute of extra time, the very last kick of the match. Sheffield Wednesday equalised to win the second leg 4-0 to equalise the tie. Cue bedlam, cue half an hour of extra time, at which Peterborough score again. So they're now 5-4 up. Sheffield Wednesday equalise again, 5-all, goes to penalties. Sheffield Wednesday go and do it. It's the greatest comeback in Football League history by far. I mean, no team's ever overturned more than a 2-goal deficit before, let alone 4. Yeah,
and how, by the way?
And by the way, what's going on with Sheffield? Because Sheffield United have just got promoted to the Premier League, so they'll be in the top flight again next season. And then you look at what's happening this weekend, and in Sheffield City Centre, there's an open-air ABBA festival.
Oh, my goodness me, Sheffield might explode. What a game, though. What was the atmosphere like afterwards?
Oh, I mean, just
crazy.
Can you imagine, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow.
They'll be talking about that for generations.
Yeah, and also Sheffield Wednesday's star in one of the funniest moments in Ted Lasso, which is the greatest show TV has ever seen.
Wait a second. We play Sheffield Wednesday?
Saturday.
Oh, we're playing Sheffield Saturday.
Sheffield Wednesday, Saturday.
We got to play them twice in the same week?
The club is called Sheffield Wednesday. We play them on Saturday. They're called Sheffield Wednesday because they used to only play on Wednesdays, but nowadays they play on whatever day of the week they feel like, including but not limited to Saturdays, which, again, is the day of the week we will be playing them.
Yeah, and Sheffield Wednesday's latest amazing moment was Thursday.
Yep.
So Sheffield Thursday. We're looking for loads of things this morning. We're looking for non-human shout-outs, non-sentient being shout-outs, because otherwise you'd just go for your dogs and your cats. I know you would. Maybe the odd budgie. We've already had racing pigeons, to be honest. But look, big shout-out to Jersey Royal potatoes. We've had them every day this week. I can't get enough of them. I like new potatoes anyway, but Jersey Royals, off the chain, off the charts. The season's far too short, but that just makes us want them even more. Jane says, Aussie Jane, who works on the show, big shout-out to binoculars. Mira's non-human shout-out, non-sentient being shout-out. Mira says, big shout-out to her lint roller. John's big shout-out, Salsa Verde, can't get enough. Jack, big shout-out to a sturdy mug. Will, shout-out to his mum's electric whisk. Big shout-out to that. Gareth, shout-out, a cheese plane. Oh, yes, a cheese plane. Vassos is... big shout out to WD-40.
Oh, I mean, it cleans, it lubricates. I used to have a Ford Capri, and when it rained, it wouldn't start until you WD-40'd on the engine, and it was like a purring new car.
Big shout out to non-sentient beings. Rachel, big shout out to scented candles.
Particularly fig.
All right, particularly fig. But you do say all the
but
scented
I'll take
candles.
Anything.
All right, so we're going to take that. Also, your emails of the year. Do you have a particular standout email of the year? Rachel has mine.
Hi, Chris. Circling back here, and apologies for the delay. I work with Alex, who's sadly been out sick, so I'm jumping in on her behalf. Get well soon, Alex. We're hosting a screening of the season 3 finale of Ted Lasso, followed by a panel with the cast. Jason loved being on your show and was so touched by your insightful questions. Would you want to join us in LA and moderate the panel? We'll happily provide travel and accommodation. I've included a link with a few more details. We know it's a long trip and on short notice, but we really appreciate your consideration. Let us know your thoughts. Was that a hell yes?
It was a hell yeah. It's a week on Tuesday. LA, baby. I got a week off. It's on my second day of the week off. It's a yes. Can't believe it. Sometimes. Vassos, can you give us the biggest introduction ever, please?
Our next guests are British acting royalty, equally at home in the thick of a Shakespearean tragedy and the midst of a big budget, big screen sci-fi fantasy. Together, they are Frank and Percy in Frank and Percy, a new play at the Theatre Royal Windsor from June. So please be upstanding, everyone, for Sir Ian McKellen and Roger Allen.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sir Ian.
Good morning. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well. How are you?
I love your hat.
Thank you very much.
Especially for radio.
Yeah, it helps with the hair or lack of it. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks both for coming here. You only live around the corner. Did you hop and skip here today?
Yeah, not far, but it's, you know, very busy at this time of day, isn't
it? Very busy at this time of day. How long have you two known each other?
Well, I think we met in the 80s in Royal Shakespeare Company land.
Oh, yes, that would be right.
Yeah, we were never in the same company.
I've always admired Roger from afar, rather fancied him, actually. It's a dream come true to actually be working with him again.
Feeling triggered now.
So,
but we really got together when we did pantomime at the Old Vic. Oh, he was Abenaza and I was his twanky.
How much fun was that?
Oh.
All the fun.
Well, I think it was more fun in the dressing room, which we shared, than on stage.
To share a dressing room with Ian McKellen's twanky is just a huge, huge honour.
You know they have the Panto Awards. You won a lifetime achievement this year at the Panto Awards, didn't you?
Did I? Yes, I did. Yes, so that was for another pantomime without Roger. That was John Bishop replaced him in my affections.
Because the Panto Awards, which are brilliant.
Oh, yes.
They're not called the Twankies. I just wish they were. Don't you?
No, yeah, it'd be lovely.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So you're together, you're in this new play, and it's called Frank and Percy. I presume Frank and Percy are the gentlemen's names, not the dogs'
Correct.
Names. But I don't know, because we know very little about this, because it's a brand new play.
I know. So it's difficult to talk about, otherwise, if we told you the plot, there'd be no point in coming to see it, would it? I tell you the thing about
the
what was
out the bag, do we?
As opposed to the cat.
What's unique about this play, from my point of view, is that I was sent it with no comment, just by a very good friend who's now going to direct it, Sean Mathias. I read, because it was from him, I immediately sat down and read it, and about three pages in, I started laughing, I mean, out loud, on my own. And then, very unusually, I started to read it out loud. And suddenly I was in the play, and I thought it was the most enjoyable 2 hours I'd ever spent with the new script. And I called up Sean. I said, is this play going to be done? He said, if you'd like to do it. That was it. And you had something similar, didn't you? Similar
well, I did. Sean sent me the script and said that you were doing it. After about three pages, I thought, well, this is great. And it would also be an excuse to be in a room with Ian and Sean for quite a long time, which is, you know...
But it is very unusual to get a new script and say, I want to do that. I want to be part of this. You usually have to be persuaded by something or other.
Yeah, and I presume, I don't know, because I've read as much as I can about the play, which isn't much at all, which is good, I suppose. Mm. I presume it's about reflection. It's about sagacity, a bit of wisdom, bit of wit, very pithy. But it comes from a rather youthful mind, the mind of a 29-year-old, and he's putting words into these older gentlemen's mouths. Mm. And you two say he's pretty much nailed it. How has he done that?
I don't know. It's very convincing, and he's very talented. I think he's only had one big play done before. That was at the National Theatre. So we're getting him at the start of his career out at the Theatre Royal in Windsor. I don't know. He's a charming fellow. He comes to rehearsal. He does what he's told.
He does, you
know.
Yes. That doesn't work. He changes it.
We make little changes, and he nods away. He's smiling.
Right? Do you?
Harold Pinter wasn't like that.
No, he would not. But yeah, Roger's right. I mean, I don't need to be paid to go and spend 5 hours a day in the company of two of my best friends.
That is so cool, isn't it? And also in Windsor, Theatre Hall Windsor. It's great, isn't it?
It's lovely.
So, Roger, you are a fair whippersnapper at the age of just 69, aren't you?
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. Who plays... I'm just going to guess. Ian, I think you play Frank, and I think, Roger, you play Percy, but
no,
I don't know.
Do you know, you got absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I play Percy. Percy is my age.
Yes.
And he's still at it. He's still working.
Can we say how old you are? Is that okay with you?
I'm 83, but I'll be 84 by the time the show opens.
I thought you were going to say by the time this show ends.
No. 84 any minute now.
By the way, come on, how great is he? Looks so well.
What have I got to say? I've forgotten nothing. You see, that happens at my age. I've no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you play Percy. He's your age.
Yes, that's right.
Good.
I'm an academic, and I write about climate change.
Right.
So up to date.
Good.
But I'm on my own. I live on my own, and I don't think I should tell you anymore because, you know, the ins and outs and the relationship changes. It ebbs and flows, and... I think we can safely say it's got a happy end.
All right, so yes. Frank, we can call you Frank now because we know you're Frank,
Frank,
don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Is it a two-hander all the way through? Anybody else on stage?
No,
basically
true.
Not that I've noticed.
It's us and our dogs.
There's nobody at rehearsal.
No, it's just us.
So the dogs are real?
In our imagination.
Yes,
oh,
in our imagination.
Interesting.
The dogs
he's already
are real.
Clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a dog?
No, I've lived with dogs often, but at the moment, no, I'm not.
What about you, Roger?
Dogless.
No, I don't have a dog. I'm a dog liker.
Dog liker, but not a dog lover. I quite like that as a little nuance.
The dog I have in the play, Percy has a dog called Bruno.
Nice.
He's a 3-year-old Labrador.
Right.
And the day before rehearsal, I came out of my house and there. Sitting outside my house was a Labrador.
Meant to be.
And I said to its owner, how old? It said 3.
No.
Yes.
You're making it up.
And then along came a spaniel and they introduced themselves to each other and had a little run around. And
my dog is a spaniel.
No, I don't believe you, Ian.
My dog.
I don't believe you.
Toffee.
You're pulling my chain.
He's a spaniel.
No.
So tell us about your dog or Frank's dog.
Frank's dog, Toffee, is a spaniel and he's...
Overweight.
That's just simply not true.
Yeah.
7 years old.
Yeah.
And Frank is a widower. His wife died 4 years ago, so he lives with his dog as well. So
You two are so assured, of course you are, because you've been doing what you're doing forever, and you're both so good at it. And you both Shakespeared off until, you know, there's no Shakespeare left, to be honest. When you come up against a play like this, is there nerves? Are you so at ease with this sort of, you know, vernacular? That
I would only get nervous if I didn't think the other actor was up for it and good enough. The joy about this is Roger is a superb a comic actor when he wants to be.
He's the best.
The best Falstaff I've ever seen.
You're in my. You were in my funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Sick of it.
Boeing.
I remember you coming.
It was
to
the
see
funniest.
That, yeah.
I came about 10 times. Did you see it?
Yes, of course I did. I see everything Roger does.
In public or elsewhere.
Yes,
but you know, you've got to think funnily to do this play, not be funny, just feel funny, and I laugh all the way through.
Feel funny. So tell us about that. Do you mean by that, Sir Ian? Do you mean you've got to feel funny and or just get to a point in life where you realise not everything's necessarily nonsense, but most of it isn't anywhere as near as important as we pretend it is?
Oh, well, that's, my God, that's a good philosophy. But the thing about playing comedy is that you mustn't
go
be
for
funny.
Laughs.
No, you go for the truth of the situation. It's up to the audience to find you funny. And I'm his audience at the moment, and
and he's mine.
Yes.
So are there,
well, I make you laugh sometimes.
Yes, are there exchanges in the play where, you know, one may go off on a sort of mini monologue for a while the other one sits there and enjoys that?
That happens just once, yes. But no, on the whole, it's banter.
And is it all on the same bench, or can you tell us about the movement?
Oh no, there's different locations.
All right, I see.
There's a kitchen. There is at one point a bed.
Right.
Is your mind racing now?
I'm thinking about, but I don't know whether to go to Morecambe and Wise, Abbott Costello, Laurel and Hardy, or Ernie and Bert from The Muppets. So I'm going to go Ernie and Bert.
You always saw them in bed. Well, Morecambe and Wise were often in bed together.
Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy.
Always
in
that's
bed
right.
Together.
Yes.
I'm hoping for great things. All of a sudden.
It's a joy to be at rehearsal. If the audience enjoyed this play as much as I enjoyed reading it for the first time, well, we're quids.
We'll be laughing.
We'll be laughing.
That's what Bob Monkhouse said, wasn't it? Do you remember his famous quote? He said, when I told the kids in my class at school that I wanted to be a comedian, they all started laughing. Well, they're not laughing anymore. It's so clever. So clever. So you were brought up in the war, weren't you, as a little boy?
Yes.
My mum, she was a bit. She was born a few years before you, so she was a teenager when the war was on. So she knew what it was like to experience peace. And then she actually worked in a munitions factory in the war as a teenager. She has extraordinary. She's no longer with us, but she had extraordinary first-hand stories from the war. Mm. But of course, one of the things I read about you while preparing for the interview, Sir Ian, is the fact that all your formative years were during conflict. And so, therefore, the extraordinary thing for you was when peace broke out.
Yes, I was lucky enough to live in Wigan in the north of England, where we had very few bombs, only two during the war. And in fact, we had evacuees from Middlesex staying with us. So I didn't realise that this wasn't normal to live with total strangers who moved in for a year.
Yeah.
I rather took over. I slept under an Anderson shelter in the back room. Which was a metal table, basically. We had blackout material so that the enemy couldn't see our lights on. All this seemed very normal. The food, there was very little food, and what there was rationed. So peace for me was seeing the King and Queen's face in fireworks in Wigan Mains Park.
Yeah.
What an excitement that was. The arrival of the first banana, which was shared between four children.
Wow.
Eventually, sweets going off the ration. And you could buy any sweets you want instead of just Uncle Joe's mint balls. And have I had those?
No.
They should come in a tin, not a jar.
Yeah, that's right. They come in a tin.
With Victory V's.
Yes.
As well.
Victory V's, yes. Which are a little bit strong. Best sucked through a hanky, I find.
Yeah. They were right. So the four strongest sweets, bang for your buck, were, I think, Uncle Joe's mint balls, Victory V's in a tin,
mm-hmm.
Fisherman's Friends, and Imperial Imps.
Really?
Do you remember those little Imperial Imps?
No.
They were like in a small tin. They were the smallest things, but they were like the plutonium of the mint confection.
Yes, they're too strong for me. I like to take half a fisherman's friend and tuck him just in the corner of my mouth and often do a whole performance with him sucking on a friend. Yes, yes, I do. I do.
What do you, Roger?
I used to tuck.
I knew that was coming, by the way, of course.
Yes?
Sorry, no, you were going to say... You were going
No, I used to do that as well until it started rotting my teeth. What is it when they drill right down into the teeth? I had about four of those in a row.
Four root canals.
Oh, my goodness,
the thing is, if you're doing a play with a lot of words, which you have to speak loudly, in other words, doing Shakespeare in a big theatre, to have a fisherman's friend just lubricating you is very, very helpful.
What's the longest you've made a fisherman's friend last?
Well, the Scottish play, which we did for 2 hours, but that, I think, was often a meloid. Do you know what that is?
Oh, no, yes, I don't. Meloid. I have no idea.
It's a meloid, yes.
What's
those
a meloid?
Licoricey ones.
Yes, lovely.
Yes.
Stain your teeth a bit.
What's it like working with this chap, Rog?
Well, it's adorable. I mean, on the pantomime, we had a complete ball. It was just a glory. And of course, it being a pantomime, one, we shared a dressing room, which was absolutely great, except that all his outfits took up about 9/10 of the space in the dressing room.
That's right.
All the wigs, the makeup, the jewellery and the stuff.
Yeah.
And I was sort of tucked in a corner with my stuff. But it was just glorious. I'd only ever done one pantomime before. And you remember, we used to do this rather wonderful curtain call. And it felt like the theatre was going to just collapse. The theatre was sort of shaking with people.
The response.
Yeah. It was just
the best,
lovely,
isn't it?
Lovely, just the best.
Absolute joy. But the thing about acting is work with people who you think are just a bit better than you are, and they drag you up with them. Don't work with people who you think, they're not very good.
It's all up during that. Honestly.
Look at him. He's adorable.
He is adorable. But you are, though, Roger. You are adorable.
Thank you.
Because I think one of the things is, we were talking yesterday about funerals and about the fact that somebody very wise said to me on Wednesday, they said, he's in his 70s, this guy. He said one of his pieces of advice for life is, before you get old or whatever that means, old or older, go to as many funerals as you can. Listen to what people have to say about the deceased, and you will discern that it's very seldom about what they accomplished or about their so-called success, but it's about what they were like. Were they kind? Were they generous? You know, were they misunderstood? Were they at ease with themselves and the world, etc., etc., etc.? Did they have a decent sense of humour?
But they're talking about the deceased as a friend.
Their character.
That's right.
You know, and the thing about you, Roger, is, if you don't mind me saying, I don't know you very well, but, you know, I think we don't have to, but we mostly really like people that make us laugh. But we allow them to make us laugh first because we like them. Isn't it often the case that you really like your favourite comedians and then you laugh at them? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Though Roger can be very serious, and we do have chats about things that matter, as well as making each other laugh, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yes, ask an Ian.
You two are hilarious. Don't need a script. Tom Courtney. How well do you know Tom Courtney?
Not very well, no.
Okay, do you know Tom Courtney?
Not well, no.
So Tom Courtney says, he cites the fact that every time he embarks upon a new production or a new job, he always tries to learn something because there's so much downtime. So, like, I think one year he learnt to knit, another year he learnt to play the saxophone. But, of course, because you're pals and you're sharing a dressing room, there is as much downtime, isn't there, in a play like this as there is on stage time. So what do you get up to that you can tell us about together
There's not much. There's not much down. We're just on stage all the time.
But what about like matinees to evening shows?
Oh right.
Like that?
Well,
Roger will bring in something very tasty and beautifully cooked by himself to eat, probably cold, And if I'm lucky, I might get some scraps from that. Yeah. But he's a great meat eater, and, right. and I try to be a vegetarian, so there isn't an overlap there. But it's often about eating with Roger.
Right. Mm.
Very important.
He eats well.
I feel.
And drinks occasionally.
Ian will send one of his people out.
Yes.
Does he ever send you out? Would you go?
Of course.
Of course you would.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you do that?
It's Sir Ian McKellen.
So Frank and Percy, 9th of June to the 22nd of July. Tickets at theatreroyalwindsor.co.uk. That's tickets at theatreroyalwindsor.co.uk. It's a beautiful part of the world. These two are geniuses. This place sounds amazing.
And just before you finish, I should say we're also going to Bath.
I wasn't going to
finish. For a
couple
of weeks. Did you know that?
Yeah, I was going to say that next.
Tell us about it then.
You're starting in Windsor and then the production is moving to Bath. Is and it? Who knows wherever after that?
Well, we'll have to see what if the great public
they're going to love it. Who's not going to love this?
About the play.
Well, darling.
If they agree with us, the public.
Well, that'll be the exciting thing to discover.
Does that concern you?
You what?
Does that concern you?
What?
Whether the public will agree with you or not.
Well, of course, we only do plays to entertain people.
Yeah.
And I say, and you say too, Rog, and I bet you do, Chris, the best thing about our job is working with people, working with friends, entertaining people.
Yes.
What? Isn't that lovely?
So the biggest blessing that you could ever wish for, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
I think it's amazing.
And here
and
I am,
money.
In the thick of it.
And the freebies. We get sent loads of freebies to the show. It's ridiculous. We don't need them. We get sent all the freebies to the 17th.
What kind of thing?
Loads of stuff. We get air fryers was the last lot of stuff we got.
Yes.
We just kept getting sent loads of air fryers. And then last week, somebody sent us, like, cases and cases of cider.
Great. Do you sit on a bench?
It's pretty good up here. You should stick around.
Yes, I will.
How's the pub? Have you still got the pub?
Yes, the pub's doing terribly well.
The pub's amazing.
The pub's closing all over the place, but we've been there since 1534.
Your pub is the oldest pub in London?
Oh, that would be a nice claim, wouldn't it? I don't know. But there has been a pub on the site, right on the banks of the river. Dickens used to go there. I know everyone says Dickens went to their pub, but he did go to ours because his godfather lived just along the road.
I can say the name because you don't mind, do you?
The Grapes.
The Bunch of Grapes, yeah.
No, not the Bunch of Grapes, the Grapes.
Well, we used to call it the Bunch of Grapes because I used to live at number 24 Narrow Street.
You did not.
I did. I lived there for ages.
You didn't. When I was there.
I lived at 24 Narrow Street in 1992 to 1993, and I lived in the basement, and when there was a high tide, the river covered the windows.
Well, I've been there since 1980. I'm amazed.
Yeah, so David Owen lived there, didn't he?
Well, he's still there.
David Lean.
David Lean.
So I was next door but one to David Lean's house.
Stephen Burkhoff.
Stephen Burkhoff was in the same number 24. I hope he doesn't live there still because I've just given out his address.
Well, when you set the trend, yes, it's a lovely part of the
it's
world
the
to live, Docklands. Yes,
it's the
yes,
best I love part. It. Yeah. Listen, it's great to see you, but thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. We have quite a theatre audience, so hopefully we'll put some bums on seats
for
you.
Oh, that would be nice.
It's great.
It would be nice to see
them.
Then
we can send you some gifts and freebies and stuff.
Yeah, please do. And we can give them away to people at TalkSport.
Get down.
Frank and Percy, 9th of June to the 22nd of July. That's where it starts in Windsor, and then it moves to Bath. It's only going to play beautiful places.
It is, that's right.
Unless it needs to play other places, then it will. What are you doing for the weekend, you two?
I should be learning my lines for Frank and Percy.
Okay, what about you, Rog?
That's what I'll be doing as well.
You two swatting up.
There aren't many times when... there aren't any times when we're not on stage speaking, so...
You've got plenty of time.
Speaking or listening, Roger.
Okay, you've got two months. You should be all right. Great to see you both. Thank you so much
Very
for being
nice
here.
Very nice to
Round
see
of applause
you.
For Sir Ian McKellen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you want your favourite 80s songs to lift your mood, play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s. Virgin Radio. 80s Plus.
Bassos.
In years gone by, his name was more Eurogolf than Eurovision, but then he landed from Spaceman as his soaring vocals conquered continents. His new single, Mountain, is out now, but first, with his cover of You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine, it's Sam Ryder!
Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air. I know I can count on
you. Hey! Jump on your mic. One more time, Sam Ryder!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, if Sam Smith's voice and Ed Sheeran's voice had a baby, it might be your voice.
It might be.
How good would that be? I mean, seriously, you are. He's the best, isn't he? It doesn't get any better than Sam Ryder. Not only musically, but also as a human being. People are texting the show and they're emailing the show and they're Instagramming the show saying, we just want to come and hug you. How much for a hug? Would you do a hug festival where it's just 3 days of you stand there and people just queue up to hug you? Because they just want to be near you in your presence, Sam.
God bless. To all the lovely, amazing listeners of this show, just hello. Thanks for listening. And yeah, bless you.
Appreciate Sam, you're that. The best. How good was Eurovision last weekend?
Oh, it was bonkers. It was bonkers in the best possible way. Such an amazing experience just to be back in the midst of it and seeing all these amazing performers start their own journeys. And I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You know, like no one knows. Beyond what the scoreboard says, that's one thing, but life weaves its magic post that show. No one knows what's going to happen to their songs or their careers or you know, their journeys. So, yeah,
Godspeed. I mean, you are a bit like a poster boy for Eurovision, which I'm sure you don't mind. So,
like the Michael Bublé Eurovision, just defrost me every May.
Who cares? You know what I mean?
I love it.
But it obviously added fuel to what's already quite a ferocious fire because last week's Eurovision was the most watched ever.
Yeah.
Ever. The party was the best Eurovision party ever because it was a week long. Liverpool absolutely smashed it.
They did. They took on that responsibility and they fulfilled the dreams and desires of everyone that knew that was a big burden to undertake. And they just made it look fantastic. They brought everyone together in the best way, really lifted Ukraine and made them like they put them on that stage.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, there were 9 hosts for that show televisually. There were 4 main hosts, of course. You know, and they were brilliant as well. It just worked. The stars really lined up for it. You know, and as you say, there's probably a lot of love and a lot of sort of compound, sort of karmic, cosmic juice coming from Ukraine last year because it's still, you know, so many things happening for the right reason around Eurovision. The BBC did a brilliant job with a production. What was it like in the room on the night?
Organised, because of the BBC.
Good answer.
Last year in Turin, there was it was a magic sort of chaos last year, you know, like kind of at the backstage at an amateur dramatics, it kind of felt like last year. Everyone's like, where's my high heel? Not my high heel. I weren't wearing high heels.
Well, he says that.
I'd be open to it. But but this year was very much like everything was in its place. And like, you could see on the show, everything ran perfectly. But they're both magic in their own way.
I thought all the performances are brilliant. Again, I just from a TV point of view, it made me feel sick. I thought, how did they do this? There's so much that could go wrong every minute
40
of the
second
show.
Changeovers for all that staging. It's amazing to see it. It's like the Thunderbird Garage. Oh. Just stages wheeling in and out. And
you know, all live shows, Anton Deck did, we used to do it. You know, you go to a VT to give yourself a rest. That's what the viewers don't realise. And there are VTs in Eurovision, but they're not, like you say, they're 40 seconds long. So for me, the three standout performances of the night, and by the way, comparison can be the thief of joy. I don't mean to do that, but from my point of view, Finland, Sweden, and your performance.
Thank you so
when
much.
When you
mate.
Came on, I was, you know, we were the kids. We had a fire pit going on outside. We had the TV in the kitchen on. We had the TV in the living room on. But the TV in the kitchen is right next to where, so it's in and out. We were having beers outside and Diet Coke inside and all this kind of stuff. You came on and our telly in the kitchen is quite small. And you just came, it was like you were in our kitchen. It's like you joined the party. Just tell us about the new single you talked about, Mountain. It's brilliant. I love it.
Thank you so much.
You know, and there was, I mean, talk about pressure, you know, to come up with something as good as what you did last year. It's as good, if not better. Tell us about the staging bit. Tell us about Roger Taylor on the drums. Tell us about the sort of tribute to Phil Collins, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you didn't get that.
tell us about everything to do with
the
song.
Right, let's start with the pressure. For me, it didn't exist because pressure's often intangible. It's directed at you from other sources,
got it.
Not yourself. So if I could switch off from those sources, there was no pressure.
Or it's take the same that energy and convert it into something else, maybe.
Exactly, exactly. So nerves became excitement. And it was just a joy to share that moment in time. It was important to not come back and just, hey, this is my new single. The same way as this is my book, this is my DVD or anything like that. It was about creating a moment in time because last year I spent so much of the sort of campaign leading up to Eurovision saying how it's this amazing unifying force, brings people together in a world that tears us apart. So I had to put, and I wanted to put my money where my mouth was there with this fantastic opportunity and the privilege and the honour to take to that stage again. It's about bringing people from all walks of life onto that stage, the biggest stage at the biggest party on the planet. Now, some of those people, they had been going through challenges in life, but it was about making their challenges part of their story and identifying that, but not making that their one defining factor.
Yeah.
Just the same with all of us. We all have something, mountains in our lives that we're going to overcome, but they don't define us.
Love it.
You know? And that's what the song's about.
Okay, tell us about the staging of it.
The staging,
weekend.
Roger Taylor was involved. He came, played the drums, flew in from Mexico off his holiday because he wanted to be in, big up Roger. He was so lovely. He doesn't need to be doing that. He can be just putting his feet up there, touring later in the year. I feel like I'm plugging Queen here. But
by the way, I wish you were singing with Queen. Imagine that. Yeah. there was talk for a while.
But he came in and bless him, it's just so lovely. Did an amazing job. We had obviously all the lights going on and talk about the staging, really. It's the arena and it's the energy around the globe for this thing. For me, Eurovision is so special because in a world of music and artists and performers being on stage and the energy being directed from us as fans one way, not to be reciprocated all the time, because that is the case often.
Yep.
Eurovision is cyclical.
It's the opposite,
it really is like a boomerang, and everyone in that arena is cheering every single
From the get-go.
Yeah.
It was crazy, wasn't it? It hit the ground at a million miles an hour and it didn't take a breath. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Never heard of this artist before. Don't know what they're singing
about.
I'm loving the bit.
I'm in. I want this to move in with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Might as well everybody else is this weekend. You know, this lot staying at my house.
Yeah, I might need a crash, actually. I'm playing the park tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, we're 100 yards away.
Oh, amazing.
You are more than welcome. Sam's welcome around the fire pit tomorrow night with his guitar, isn't he?
Oh, we should do that.
You can come and watch. You can actually burst into our kitchen like I thought you were. Oh, that'd be funny.
Let's do it.
Oh, please, Sam, please, Sam. Please,
I'll do it.
Please, Sam. Oh, that's the best ever. How's your year been?
Oh, man, just amazing. I'd love chatting to you. We got to see each other last year, but it was very brief, wasn't it,
in the
whole lead-up. But it's just nice to... You've got fantastic energy, Chris. And I know the listeners of your show feel that. And, it's just good to be here. And thanks to the whole team at this station.
We've been so excited. We took an advert out in the Sun newspaper yesterday, a third of a page ad, because you were coming on the show. Didn't mention me. I don't mind. I suppose. So this summer, I know you're playing the festival this weekend. Yeah. Other festivals?
Yeah, we've got about 30 festivals this year. So it's going to be busy. We're going to visit some pals in South Korea, hopefully later in the year.
South Korea's got it all going on.
And they've been supporting, since the days in
South Korea.
TikTok in the corner of my shed, singing my head off into my phone. So about high time, I went and said thank you personally to those guys. And all around Europe. Who knows? There's a lot of things. Oh, Ted Lasso as well, which I love, and I'm not going to say any more about.
I've got a Ted Lasso story.
Yeah? Yeah. Share me your Ted Lasso story.
So they invited me yesterday to go to... I'm going to say I'm the biggest Ted Lasso fan, but that's what everybody says. So it's like Taylor Swift, all right? Everybody's kids are Ted's number one fan. I'm the biggest Ted Lasso fan.
It makes people better people, that show.
Are you the biggest Ted Lasso fan?
No, because I wouldn't disrespect you on your own show.
So nice. Stop being so nice for the sake of banter. But anyway, so they invited me to go. Yesterday I got this email saying, do I want to go out to LA a week on Tuesday to host the cast and crew screening of the last episode and then moderate a Q&A with them? And so I said no.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
No, I said yes!
Yes!
But you got something going on with them?
No, I just heard that you were chatting about it and I wanted to steer the conversation to talk about it. I met Hannah at the filming.
I know you did. I've never met her.
And we were chatting, and she is fabulous. What a singer. And we were just chatting about the show, and I'm absolutely in love with it.
Has she invited you onto her Christmas special?
Can't tell you.
That's a yes.
Where are the cameras at the moment?
Because a no would be just no, wouldn't it? No, unfortunately not. La, 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 la. I'm Sam Ryder, don't lie. So that's in 2 weeks' time. I know where you're going to be. What about stateside? Because I mean, she has blown up quite rightly, by the way. But you know, it's funny because Ian McKellen was on the show earlier on. You know, and Ian acted in his first professional production. He's born 1939, so 49, 59. So he'd be early 1950s when he was his early 20s when he took to the stage for the first time properly. I would imagine getting paid for it. But he didn't really sort of come to, you know, mega fame until the movies, really, I don't suppose. And Hannah's been, it's not been dissimilar for Hannah. Yeah. You know, she's well-respected, been around, she's won amazing theatre awards, but she has blown up, bang.
I just love it. The people that have that tenacity and that spirit that just refuses to give in.
Yeah.
And they carry on this journey, and I'm sure there's so many people listening to the show that are the same, whether they're writers or performers or anything, but you gotta have such admiration because the world will pepper you with failure if you want to do something
I think that's interesting. You know, you can be tenacious about it, you can describe it as tenacity, or you can describe it with just loving the process. Mm-hmm. Because if you love what you do, you carry on doing it anyway, and it may be perceived as tenacity, but it's actually you just getting out of bed and doing what you love. Again, that's very much your playbook, isn't it? Yeah. I think. It feels like
absolutely.
It anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hopes and dreams for the future?
Keep more seeking of the same? Hope, keep in faith. Great, and then whatever comes off the back of that is a blessing, and I'll be great.
All right. Well, it's joyous to have you here today.
Thanks.
Thanks to our... can you give yourselves a round of applause for getting all that money to stay at our house and be... And this happened last night. They bid all this money to stay at our house for the weekend and be served beer by a four-year-old.
I bet the breakfast
we have
is
the
wicked
to
at
prove
your house.
It. What's that?
I bet the breakfast is wicked at your house.
Yeah, it's pretty good. yeah, it'd be nice if they slept before it. But anyhow, you're very welcome over the weekend.
Mate, I'm taking you up on that.
All right,
we'll
by
play
the way,
some acoustic
who's
guitar
this lovely
around
chap on the guitar?
This is Milky on guitar, absolute Milky! Legend. This guy is the most phenomenal guitar player.
Milky, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Full fat or semi skimmed?
Neither, to be honest.
Neither.
He's lactose intolerant. That's why he's called Milky.
Okay, so oat Milky.
Yes, oat Milky.
Oat Milky.
Yeah, that works.
Let's take it. Let's do it. Rice Milky.
You didn't think this was going to happen, did you, mate?
Listen, it's been a great week to be on the radio. It's been a great week to be alive. We had bank holiday, the first bank holiday in May. We had that. That was a great weekend. Then we had the coronation weekend. Then we had Eurovision. Next week, you've got a bank holiday weekend. This weekend, it's up to you guys. You've got to make your own fun. And remember, do not measure your weekend by somebody else's ruler. Have the best time. We're back again on Monday at 6:30, maybe. we shall see what happens over the weekend. Join us for the cricket match today in Marlow, if you like. It's the Cinch charity cricket match. It's my All-Stars against Tom Kerridge's Foodies. Sammy's playing at the Pub in the Park tomorrow. Life is a wonderful thing. It's the best thing there is. Every day is a gift. That's why it's called a present. Sing us out, please, Sam.
Let's go.
When you need a fix of some great 80s music, check out
Virgin Radio 80s Plus. On DAB. DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker,
and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. Don't stop
believing. The Chris Evans Breakfast Show and the best 80s music.
Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.